Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, there's a street in Dalkey that goes by the evocative name of Atmospheric Road. It looks like a pretty regular street, and the air there isn't thinner than normal or anything like that. It refers to a railway that used to run between Dalkey and Dunleary. Mia Sherwood-Scully is here to tell us all about it. Mia, okay, so it was only there for about 10 years or something, was it?
It was indeed, but even though it was only there for 10 years, it did leave a hell of a mark, although you wouldn't necessarily know it with only Atmospheric Road being the last moniker standing. But it was quite a remarkable railway. So it was the first commercial atmospheric railway in the world.
Okay.
As well as that, it was also the extension of Ireland's first public railway, the Dublin Kingstown Railway. And although it only lasted 10 years, by the time it was replaced by something else, it was the last standing atmospheric railway across the UK and Ireland at that point.
Okay, the route it went, would that form part of the Dart Line now?
Pretty much. The route it went along was the Meadows, which is now still quite a popular walking spot between Dunleary out to Dalkey. And the Meadows actually predated the atmospheric line. The Meadows was originally built in 1815, and it was to transport granite from the Dalkey Hill Quarry, the Glasthule Quarry, which is now the People's Park, and the Churls Quarry, which is now Moran's Park in Dunleary, down to the harbour while it was being built to help to construct the piers.
Okay, right. So explain to us, what does atmospheric railway mean?
So at the time, really, there was two opposing schools of thought within the rail industry, we'll call it. So one was for the train that most people would know and love, which is locomotive trains, steam trains. The other was for a far more experimental type of train called atmospheric or pneumatic trains. And here's a name for you, but Isambard Kingdom Brunel, who's mm-hmm. a famed civic engineer and was the chief engineer of the Great Western Railway, argued for this. He believed that locomotive trains were pretty much crazy, that they had to carry their own engine, they were heavy, they billowed smoke, they made for a far more uncomfortable journey. So instead, he campaigned for a train that pretty much used suction power to get around the place, and that's what was ultimately chosen for the Kingstown Dalkey line.
Okay.
Yeah.
Describe how.
Okay, yeah.
So did they have a big load of people at one end sucking it until it arrived in Dunleary?
You might think so. Because it was an engineless train, there was a fixed engine that was up at the Dalkey station. And so the train ran along the rails that were along the Meadows, but under the train there was a 15-inch metal pipe that acted as a suction tube connected to that engine up in Dalkey. And that's how the train ran along. So there was a piston within the tube that kind of moved back and forth, with one opening on the side and leather flaps to help keep that air pressure in, because obviously that was imperative to get the train moving.
Okay.
And to keep that tube airtight as well. The tube was often greased with tallow, but of course a very Victorian problem with that was the air pressure was often lacking because the rats would eat through the tubes.
Yeah, well, we've all been there, of
course. We've all been there.
Yeah. So then because if it was operated then kind of remotely, it didn't need a driver, I assume.
So there was still a driver, but it was operated in a very higgledy-piggledy way is how I'd probably put it. So it had the engine up at Dalkey and it was controlled from Dalkey. So it was a single track line. So the train went up to Dalkey and back, and it relied on the suction to get up the hill to Dalkey. And on the way back, it relied just on gravity and brakes and the will of God, pretty much. So so there was a telegraphic system built between Kingstown and Dalkey, but there was actually, it didn't work. So to engage the train, staff at Kingstown, which is now Dunleary to clarify, had to push the train into position to engage the piston in the tube. But because there was no communication between Kingstown and Dalkey, the driver of the train had to look at a gauge on the wall to see if the air pressure was enough, just to trust that the engine in Dalkey was engaged, that it was working. And if he believed it was, then he'd disengage the brakes and the train would move with the suction power.
Yeah, I thought I can see why maybe it didn't last that long, because it was probably terrifying for the person on board it.
It was. The health and safety wasn't great, I will say.
Yes.
Even for standards of that day.
So it lasted for about 10 years or thereabouts.
Yeah, so it ran from March 1844 until April 1854, when it was then replaced by locomotive trains, because although it was a great experiment, it was just decided that there were better ways to operate a train line.
Though interesting, I mean, it was kind of a proof of concept thing. How big were the loads it was carrying?
So there were usually about 9 carriage trains. There was definitely a sweet spot with the weight. So in and around 70 tons was what the train could handle.
Wow.
If it went up to 78 tons, it wouldn't have even been able to go around the first bend of the track. But as well as that, actually, the engine that powered it could power a line about 3 times the size. So it was only ever operated at about 50% capacity.
Mm. And did Brunel ever come and visit this, given this was, he was so excited about
this
technology?
He did, actually. He came and he visited it in August of 1844, so shortly after it opened.
Yeah, and so they thought, obviously, an engine was a bit more efficient. I imagine Brunel was a bit disappointed by that.
So it was just decided that the line was too hard to maintain, as I said, with the rats causing a lot of holes in the tubes. It had a lot of upkeep. And as well, it was just a very higgledy-piggledy kind of way to operate it. So as the train was coming into Dalkey, there was a station boy who would watch for it. And once it got to about 560 yards before the train station, the line ran out and the train just relied on its own momentum to glide into the station with the handbrakes as well.
Yeah, that was, people had nerve in them days. And so Atmospheric Road, is that beside where the metals are, or is Atmospheric Road where the metals were?
It's now on the junction of where Barnhill Road meets the metals, and Barnhill Road was where the station originally was. So it kind of is to mark the meeting of those two places, the train station with the actual line of the train as it came in.
Yeah. And I imagine most people in Dalkey don't know why Atmospheric Road is called Atmospheric Road.
Yeah, I'd actually imagine not. Anyone I've spoken to actually isn't too aware. And it is such an incredible train that you'd wish more people knew about it, really.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, that's an extraordinary story. Mia, thanks a million for coming in to tell us about it. That was the journalist and historian Mia Sherwood-Scully there.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.